When I say it's good to see you today, I really mean that. You're family, and I love family, and it's so nice to come together. And I welcome you today as we're going to do something different today, and I have to just be very honest with you. I'm going to ask for you, if you would, to give me a little bit of grace this morning, because we're not doing our service as we normally do it, and as the message proceeds, you're going to see there's some differences there. It's okay. Now, many of you today, you walked into the sanctuary, you came to church. Some of you, it began when you woke up this morning. And suddenly, when you woke up this morning, instead of thinking of church and preparing your heart for a time of worship, your mind went to other places. What are we going to do after church? What are we going to eat? What are we going to do this next week? Who are we going to see? What battle do we have to defeat? What family member do we need to get hold of? Do we need to go shopping? Do we need to buy groceries? And on it goes. And there's this total distraction. And then what happens very often is you come to church, and as you come to church, when you walk in, you know what? You bring those distractions with you. This morning, what I want us to do is to truly spend time in worship. And that's what we're going to do. But it's going to be different. By the way, worship, most of the time when we talk about worship, people think that when we're singing that that's worship. And I want to start right off by saying, no, it's not. It's a part of worship, but everything that happens here today is worship. As we come together and we sing, that leads our heart to a point where we're ready to be lifted up to God. But worship is not just the singing, it's the whole service. So what is our purpose for being here today? It's worship. Now, before I go on, I want you to bow your heads, because I want us to do something, and that's why I say I want you to just work with me this morning. Because what I'm going to ask you to do here is I'm going to have you pray and ask God to clear your mind. Ask God to touch you through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning so that you are here in His presence. Ask God if He would be with you and help you to not be distracted. Heavenly Father, as we come together this morning, we know that there's many outside distractions because of life. But today we come to worship you. Father, I pray. I pray that each one here would feel your presence. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be moving in the hearts of this congregation. That as we have this time, Lord, I pray that you would be with us. Help us to find comfort, to find peace. But above all today, Lord, truly let this be a spirit of worship. And we lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible teaches that we are to worship the Lord in His house, and this is His house. And today I'd like for you to just follow me for a time of worship and praise and thanksgiving. I'm going to share some thoughts on worship, and we're going to take time to think on these things as well as consider our love for God. What does worship mean? What does it mean to worship? Jesus met with a woman at the well, and he had told her life, and he had told her all of these things, and he said to her, he said that you must worship God in spirit and in truth. And that's so, so true. You cannot come before God and worship him and be a fake. He knows it. He knows it. He looks at our heart. So how is this accomplished? How do we come with spirit and truth? As we attempt to understand worship, folks, if we were to somehow be able to ask an ancient Israelite about his worship experiences, he might tell us about sacrifices that were given at the altar. He might tell us about singing the songs of David or the celebration of the Feast of Days. If we asked about the word, though, worship, he would give us a simple response. Because you see, that word, worship, literally means to bow down. That's what it is. In Bethlehem, there's a gate, it's called the Needle Gate. And in order to get into the city of Bethlehem, you go through this gate. And here's the thing, there is a door there, but the gate itself is only about this high. You can't enter the gate without bowing down to enter it. I also discovered that people there were much smaller than me because I not only had to bow down to enter it, I had to kind of turn sideways to get through. It's a little gate to bow down. And people come to Bethlehem to worship and see the place where Jesus was born, but the only way you can enter is bowed down. That's worship. Proverbs uses the word to convey the image of somehow stooping under a heavy load. In the ancient world, when entering the presence of one to whom respect was due, bowing was the proper sign of respect. As a result, the Hebrew word shachah, that little word just means worship. And it came to express homage to a higher authority. Isn't that what we're doing when we worship? Aren't we just expressing our love and our homage to God? The act of bowing became enough. No other sacrifices or outward expressions of worship were needed. In Psalm chapter 95, verse 6, it says, "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before our Maker." This morning, we're going to be doing something a little different. And there's a song I'm going to play for you, and we're just going to play little pieces of it. But during that time, I want you to listen to the words of the song. They're also printed on the back of your bulletin. And what I would like for you to do as you listen to the song is to take your heart and bow before the King. Bow to worship. Bow and feel His presence. Take just a moment today and just see yourself standing in front of the Lord of Lords. Would you listen to the song? Just close your eyes and listen or look at the words, whatever you want to do, but just listen as we begin this song today.
Soul. Oh, my soul, worship.
In worship, you come into the presence of the Lord. And you know what? Above all, He is deserving of supreme reverence and supreme humility. If you have your Bibles, take them and just flop them open to the middle. Now, the odds are, when you do that, you're going to land in the book of Psalm. If not, look for it. But it's right there in the middle. And just take time here to open it up. And we're going to look for Psalm 103. Katie, you look like you didn't believe me. Oh, no. It is in the middle. Psalm 103. I'm going to read this for you. This is a psalm of praise. King David is coming before God, and he's had a whole lot of stuff in his life, and he's coming before God, and he's realizing that he needs to worship, he needs to praise God. And so this is what he writes, and you can follow along as I read in Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Listen, praise is a very active part of worship. David, as we just found countless things to praise God for. What about you? Have you ever thought about that? What can you praise or thank God for? Now, we had a discussion at Bible study the other night, and I'm going to tell it to you because it's something that I just share quickly. Folks, there's a difference in praise and thanksgiving. And very often, people get the two mixed up. Keep in mind, when we praise God and what David was doing, when we praise God, we praise Him for who He is. And we have a list that we go through pretty quick. He's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's the creator of the universe. He has infinite love. He has infinite grace. And we have these things that we know for sure. But then when we come to this thing of praise and we're looking at the character of God, it gets very short and we start very quickly saying, oh, now what do I praise him for? David spent a great deal of time meditating on God and letting God speak to him. And he came to realize the greatness of God and the things to praise him for. The book of Psalms is full of praises that David praised God for. And it's all got to do with the character and the nature of God. If you love him, you praise him. If you want to be a child of his, you praise him. If you spend time thinking on who he is, you praise him. Because God is above all. Now that's praise. Then there's thanksgiving. How many of you, just by raising your hand, can say, God has done or given me something in my life? You know, every hand should be up because the fact that your heart beats one more beat, God gave it to you. The fact you can take another breath is because God's allowing it. But he does things and he meets our needs and we thank him for what he does, okay? So a lot of time I'll hear people, something will happen, they'll say, praise God! Why? I can see thanking him. It's something else. And why do I share this? Because God takes time in Scripture to show us the difference. And he takes time to spell it out for us. And so we need to do the same. The only way you can do it, though, is to really think about who he is. So what can you praise or thank God for? Praise him for who he is. Thank him for what he does. On your bulletins, for those who have pens, because I want you to take your bulletins home and keep them. But I'd like for you to take a few minutes here, and if you need to get some pens out or some marking devices, go ahead. And what I want you to do is just for a few moments, I want you to write down as many praises as you can think of to praise God with. Then in a few seconds or after a bit, we'll bow our heads and lift our hearts to God. And I want you to lift those praises up to him. And again, we're going to listen to more of this wonderful song by Matt Redman. Praise the Lord, O my soul, for your infinite power, maybe. For the artistry of your creation and only you can see. We praise you. In all of your greatness, the things that we know and the things that we don't know. We praise you for that eternal home that you and you alone have created. What are you writing down? What can you praise God for today? And now, if you would, bow your heads. And we're going to pray. And really, this is your time. Your time to praise God. Heavenly Father, you're an awesome, amazing God. There is only one, and that is you. And Father, we are limited in our minds as to what we can perceive, but we work to perceive your greatness. Father, I pray that those who are here, that even now they're lifting up a voice of praise to you and understanding what it means. Father, we just want to again ask you to come and join us and be with us in this service and touch hearts. Father, there's nothing, because you are God, there is nothing that you can't do. There's nothing that is broken that you can't fix. There's no healing that you can't bring. There's no prayer that you don't answer. And Father, you are always with us, even in the dark moments of life. And sometimes we just have to turn our eyes and look at you instead of the storms around us. How great you are. How wonderful, Lord. So we lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's listen again to the next verse in our song.
You're rich in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. To rest alone, my soul, oh, my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. And that's where worship, true worship, comes from. It is our very innermost being. It's our very soul that we lift up to God. That soul which God has given us to know and to feel and to experience His presence. Worship His holy name, that name which is above all other names and should only be uttered with respect and reverence. Listen, the name of Jesus and the name of God is not just a slang term. And so often I hear people and they'll say, oh, God. And they're not praising. They're not worshiping. It's just a word. It's a filler in a conversation. And something happens and, oh, God. And yet the Bible says that is a name that's lifted in reverence and respect, and is holy. Oh, Jesus Christ. And it's the same thing. And you hear people, even out of anger, well, Jesus Christ. We're talking about our Savior. We're talking about, again, that part of who God is that gave His life on the cross so that we can have eternal life, that came and lived and was tested and tried and suffered and died and rose again so that we would not have to suffer, so that we would have eternal life. And we take His name and throw it around so freely. And that's not worship. Some of you, maybe you've never heard that before, but we're to worship His name and to lift it in reverence. I tell you, I've had people do this when they realize they were talking to me, and they'll say something like, oh, God, I really mean that respectfully, Pastor. Yeah, right. Don't explain it to me. Because society does it, we get sucked in. And somebody else does it, and we feel we have to follow. Every time we mention His name, it must be with the worship due Him. It must be that we are bowing before our Heavenly Father. As we worship God, we lift up petitions and requests. By the way, this too is honoring Him. Because He's interested in us and He's interested in our needs. What is it that God desires from you? There's only one thing that He really, really desires from you. And it's really simple. I do this and I can't help but think of that movie City Slickers. You know, that one thing. Okay? If you haven't seen it, you'll have to watch it. And I just went off my nose, but that's okay. One thing that God desires from you, the only thing He wants is He wants to have a one-on-one personal relationship with you. He wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants you to know who He is. He wants you to live for Him, to walk with Him, talk with Him, listen to Him. He wants to be a personal God in your life. It doesn't matter what the person next to you does. Your relationship with God is one-on-one. And by the way, the person next to you can't get you into heaven. Doesn't happen. The only way we can do this is through that relationship with God, where God is abiding in us, where He forgives our sins, and where we live our lives for Him. And then in that time, He opens up His kingdom and He says, "Come on in, my precious child." One thing. Just one thing. And because He's interested in you, and because He wants that relationship with you, that one-on-one personal relationship, we can come before Him with our petitions, with our needs, with our requests, and He hears them. On your papers, what are your petitions? What are your needs? Can you write them down? Just take a few minutes. What is it that you need for God to do for you right now? You know what? For some right now, you need God to heal a heart that's breaking. For some right now, you need God to help you to understand the world around you and the things that are going on. For some right now, you need God to protect you. And there are some that right now, you need God to give you health, to give you strength, and to renew your spirit. This one-on-one personal Savior who wants to be a part of your life. And as we come to worship Him, we bring our petitions to Him. For some, right now, you need God to fill an emptiness inside. There's something missing. He can do it. And He does. Heavenly Father, as You look down on us, You know our needs. And Father, You know the desires of our heart, and You promise to provide our needs, but so much more. You give so much more. And whatever the need today, whatever the hurt, the pain, whatever is going on, Father, I just pray that You would touch the hearts of those who are here, that they would feel Your presence. And as we bow before You, Lord, that they would present their petitions to You, knowing that You answer all prayer. Father, it's not always the way we want it, but You always have our best interest at heart. Lord, we just lift this up to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen to the final verse of this song.
Strength is failed, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then
You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. for all your goodness. I will keep on singing. Now listen to this. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. We wrote down just a few. We wrote down reasons to praise God, reasons to thank God, and reasons, but 10,000 or more. How many can your heart come up with? What can you think of? And the worship doesn't end here today. The worship goes with us to our homes and to our jobs as we continue to think about these things on God. And how can we worship Him during the week? And how can we worship Him while we're doing our jobs? You know what? I hope this song gets stuck in everybody's craw. I really do. I mean, you don't have a craw. That's chickens. But I hope this is one that gets stuck in your head and you can't forget it. 10,000 reasons, maybe more, to worship our God. It's exciting. And we can work on this. And it's so humbling. That's why I wanted to do this today. I wanted to begin that thought process with each of you that God is greater than anything in your world, and God is more worthy of your worship than anything around you. And whatever you're facing, you can walk with Him and He walks with you, and life is wonderful. I go in different places, and I try to have a smile on most of the time. And very often people say, "How come you're always smiling?" Listen, I have burdens, I have problems, I'm no different than anybody else, but I've got God in me, and because God is in me, I can praise Him, I can thank Him, I can smile, I can rejoice and enjoy life and keep it simple, but God is there. And so often as Christians, we miss it. So often as Christians, we walk around and we may not say it, but our mind, the way our body language is, the way our face looks, we're kind of walking around like, "Woe is me. Oh, well, life goes on." No! I've got God living in me, and he's there all the time. I can't hide from Him. I can't run from Him. I can't get away from Him. I don't want to get away from Him. When I lay down to go to sleep at night, He's right there with me. When I wake up in the morning, He's right there with me. When I go through my day and meeting people, talking to people, driving, whatever I'm doing, God is right there, and I can rejoice because God is there. Folks, that's worship. That's worship. Do you feel it? Can you get it inside? God wants to be that plugged into you. He wants to show you that kind of love. 10,000 reasons? That's just the beginning of all we could find to worship God for. Well, is this where the worship ends? I hope not. I hope you're taking this as the beginning and that you add to your list daily. I'm going to ask Rob to come up, and in a few minutes, we're going to pray, and we're going to dismiss this song that we've been listening to. Everybody's heard it now. And Rob and I haven't practiced it, but we're gonna lead this, and we're going to sing it. We're just going to lead. And we're going to have you follow us. And here's what I hope. I don't care if you're on tune. I don't care if you got the right beat. I don't care if you jump in exactly on the right word. I know I won't. You're not going to see me clap my hands. And I'll tell the congregation, some of you don't know this, I am hand clapping challenged. Because if I try to clap my hands while I'm singing, I'm all off beat. I have trouble with that. But if you want to clap, that's fine. But what we're going to do is I want you to sing this from your heart, and we'll have the words up on the screen. You got them in your bulletin. Folks, this is to worship God and open up your voice. You don't have to be a great singer. I'm not. The Bible says, from joy, the joy of your heart. And that's what we lift up. After I pray, I'm going to ask that you'd stand. We're going to kick the music up, and the words will be up on the screen. And when you stand, let's sing this together. But let's sing it today so that God believes us, okay? You understand what I'm saying? You've probably not done this kind of praise. It's something new. And I promise you, we're not going to do this every week, but this is where God brought me today. And I want us to praise Him in this song. I want us to lift our voices for 10,000 reasons that we can worship Him. And there's more than that. So much more. And if you leave today and your spirit is down, And your heart is hurting, it only tells me that you really need some help and some serious prayer, or you just don't care. But if you're here today and you want God to act in your life, lift it up. Sing praises to Him and rejoice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know I get so excited when I have the opportunity to talk about You and how wonderful and marvelous You are, and when I get to talk about worship and bowing down before You. And Father, as I come before You, and I know, Lord, that in prayer I enter Your throne room, and in prayer I stand before You, that Father, even now with this congregation, as we've come together, those who have brought their heart to a point of prayer at this time, Father, in their minds they know that they're there, that You are there, and You're in Your throne room, and You're hearing our requests. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You for the things that You've done in our lives. Thank You for health, and thank You for family. Lord, I thank You for this church and this congregation and the work that You're doing. Father, forgive us. Forgive us of all of our weaknesses and all of those things that we do that we shouldn't do. But Father, come into our lives. We pray for a moving of the Holy Spirit, that we would feel His presence even now. Father, we worship. We bow before You. And now as we would sing this song, let the voices be raised. Let the hearts be lifted. Father, just let us truly rejoice and worship You. And then as we go from here, Lord, let us take it with us, that we'd be able to share that joy and that feeling with a world that so desperately needs it. And I lift this to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please? Sing out. Sing out. Sing to the heavens and just listen and sing and let God hear our voices. Sing from your heart. It doesn't take a good voice to do this. It takes a willing spirit. Let's start it up, and we'll do the best we can. If you've never heard the song, that's okay. We're going to sing.
His
May God go with you this day and this week. You are dismissed.